We're still in our series on our blessed hope as Christians, and we've been looking over the last several weeks at the seven points of hope that we find in the New Testament. And we've already seen three, and we're going to explore the fourth one tonight. We have looked at our hope of the gospel. Colossians 1:23 says, "Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." There's still hope in the gospel, not just for the unsaved, but also for the saved. We saw our hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, we are told to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. We saw how this salvation is a fourfold salvation. We also saw our hope of eternal life. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Last Sunday night, we looked at the wonderful blessing of eternal life, the promise that God gave to everyone who believes in Him. And the amazing thing is that that eternal life was promised to you as a child of God before this world was ever created, before even the fall of sin. So yes, God has a plan, a special plan for your life and my life, and it's an eternal life. Well, tonight, the point of hope that we will look at is the hope of His calling. The hope of His calling, which we find in Ephesians chapter 1. And in this initial prayer of Paul's letter, it's actually an extended prayer, an extended introduction, but we're going to just focus on a few verses there in Ephesians 1. Paul writes, beginning in verse 16, that he ceases not to give thanks for you. And of course, he's writing to this Ephesian church. "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." What is the content of his prayer? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power." Now there's already a lot there in those verses. In fact, all of Ephesians chapter 1 is a powerful chapter, and it would take us a long time to get through all of the details. But the key phrase that I want us to focus on tonight is found there in verse 18, where part of Paul's prayer is this, "that you may know what is the hope of His calling." That ye may know what is the hope of His calling. You see, in this letter, Paul understood that the more you and I know about this calling that God has placed in our lives, His calling, the more we know about His call in our lives as Christians, the more hope you and I will have as Christians. That's why he calls it the hope of His calling. So for tonight, we're going to look more closely at the hope of His calling. The first thing is, what is His calling all about? What is this calling that Paul is describing here in Ephesians and elsewhere in the New Testament? What is His calling all about? Remember when there were no cell phones? Remember that time? It seems like so long ago now, doesn't it? Really wasn't that long ago. But when I was a boy and they had no cell phones, I was outside playing. Sometimes I was called to supper, just like you might have been when you were a kid. And some kids still are called to supper. There are a few times at our own convenience where our kids might be elsewhere that we would text them, time to come in. So yes, there is some convenience to having cell phones. But there were some times where my mom would call me to supper out loud, where everyone else in the neighborhood could hear, but I knew that she was calling for me. She called me from where I was and whatever I was doing to where she was. She wasn't expecting to bring her dinner to me. She wanted me to come home for the dinner. And of course, it wasn't necessarily for her benefit that she called me. It was for mine. In a similar way, the hope of His calling that we just read about in Ephesians 1:18 is a calling by God to sinners to Himself. And He does this primarily through His Word and the Gospel. You don't need to turn there, but we know this because Paul writes elsewhere in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, another prayer of thanks. He says, "We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you. Again, this is the call of God. He called you, how? By our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we need to remember that whenever we came to faith in Christ as our Savior from sin, it was because God was calling you to Himself. He was calling you from where you were at, whatever you were doing, to Himself. And He did so with His own word. He did so through the word of His gospel. Now, when we look at what God's calling is all about, there are two basic calls by God that we find in the Bible. There is both an external call and an internal call. The external call is what we often hear when we are listening to the Word of God. The external call of God is a general call. It's known as the gospel call. It's a general invitation to every sinner that may hear the gospel message. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Paul gave a message in the city of Athens, Greece. If you remember, he was walking around the city, and he saw all of these temples and all of these altars where sacrifices were being made, and it grieved him to the core because they were idolaters. They were worshiping all of these false gods, and they weren't worshiping the one true God. And so when he saw this altar that was made to an unknown God, he found his opportunity to minister and to bring a message. And in this message to those heathens there in Athens, in Acts 17:30, he says that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent. What we see in this message is a general call. A general call by God to all sinners, wherever they are, whoever they are. This general call is a call that is wide. In the words of Paul, it is for all men everywhere. So this general call, this external call for the gospel, applies to every person. It applies in every place where the gospel is preached. And it shows God's genuine desire for the message of His gospel to spread all throughout the world. And we know this. We understand this. We believe this because when Jesus Himself, at the end of His personal ministry on earth, when He issued the Great Commission to His disciples, He said, you need to issue this call far and wide. Some of these passages are familiar to us. Matthew 28:19. Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Jesus says you need to go and teach all nations, every person, wherever they're at. This is a general call. In Mark 16:15, another familiar passage of this great commission, Jesus said to His disciples, go ye into all the world, not just a small part, but all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so what we also see from these verses is that this general call is not just a wide call, but it is a call through His Word. Through the Word of God and His gospel. Through its preaching, through its teaching, through its general proclamation. Oftentimes when we hear about preaching, we often think of what goes on here or in a pulpit in some church. But as Pat even mentioned on Wednesday night, even when you are talking to someone, a loved one like Billy or anyone else, about the gospel, that is teaching and preaching and proclaiming the Word of God in the gospel. You are broadcasting the general call of God to sinners to come to Jesus, to come and be saved from their sin. This is what the call of God is all about. It's through the proclamation of His Word. Now, there are some elements to this general call. There are some elements to this gospel call. It's a word about Christ. You cannot tell someone about being saved without bringing them to an understanding of who Jesus is. You've got to tell them about their need for Jesus and how they are lost, that they are sinners deserving of punishment. In the words of Mark 16:16, if they believe not, they shall be damned. They shall go into eternal punishment apart from God. And so this is part of the gospel message. And then, when you tell them their need for Christ, then you tell them the offer of Christ. You tell them how Jesus, who is the Son of God, became a man, how he was born and lived a perfect and a sinless life. And yet, even though he was perfect and sinless and never committed any crime or sin against his Father, yet he died on the cross. He died on a cross not for his own sin, but for the sins of others. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and then 3 days later he rose again. This is part of the word that we proclaim to others. This is part of the general call. But another aspect of this general call is that it is a word of invitation. Once you tell people about who Jesus is and what he's done for them, you need to show them that this message is for them. You invite them. You say that you must repent and believe the gospel. You must turn from your sin and trust in this Savior in order to have eternal life. It's a word about Christ. It's a word of invitation. And then it is a word of promise. You tell those people that if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. They will be pardoned. They will be forgiven. And they will have eternal life. Those are the elements of this external gospel call, and every one of those elements are necessary. And we know this because of what we read in the book of Romans. Let's head over to Romans chapter 10, because there are several passages in that book that we will look at tonight. I'd like to begin by looking at Romans 10, verse 14. Again, this is all dealing with this external, this gospel call. Romans 10, verse 14. Again, you've heard these words before. Let's pick it up in verse 13, where Paul says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" How will they hear unless someone tells them and tells them about the word of Christ and the word of invitation and the word of promise? They need to hear this gospel call. They need to hear this general call. We see also further in verse 17 the importance of the word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the external call of God. And it is a call that every one of us here has heard with our own ears. If you're here tonight, you've heard this general call. You've heard it many, many times. It's in different churches, with different preachers, with different teachers, different passages. We've all heard this external call of God, and it is a privilege to hear this call. I saw on the news even this afternoon that President Trump is going to have another rally. I think this one's in Kentucky. There's a lot of people that want to go to these rallies, just like before he was elected. There were thousands, tens of thousands, that wanted to wait in line to be able to get in there to hear his message. And a lot of times the message is the same, isn't it? It's like all politicians. They sort of have their stump speech. And wherever you go, you hear the same stump speech. Do you realize that the general call of God through the gospel is the greatest message you and I can ever hear? That's why we often sing the hymn, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life." You should never, ever get tired of hearing those wonderful words of life. It is a great privilege, but with that great privilege comes great responsibility. You see, we need to truly heed with our hearts what we have heard with our ears. And then, we need to broadcast God's call far and wide. Many years ago, farmers would use a procedure to put seed in the ground. They didn't necessarily plant it directly into the troughs that they dug up with their tractors. But instead, they would take it and they would broadcast their seed all over the place. Sometimes you still do this when you're planting a lawn, planting grass. Just like the radio now broadcast sound throughout the world. What should we do as believers with this general call of the gospel? We need to spread it and broadcast it far and wide. Because God has given His people, you and I, the responsibility and the opportunity to propagate His call to all men everywhere. That's the external call. But what we also find in Scripture is that in addition to this external call, there is also the internal call. The internal call of God, which is a special call. It's a special call and what is described as an effectual call And this call is given to those whom he has chosen to be his children. Look back just a few pages in the book of Romans to Romans chapter 8. And you look at verse 29 and we'll read through verse 30. Where again, Paul writes, referring to this great mystery of salvation. Romans 8, 29. For whom he, referring to God, did foreknow. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That he, his Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, this is something that happened in eternity past. Whom he did predestinate, them he also what? Called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now that word called there in verse 30 is a special call. It's a special call that applies only to believers in Jesus Christ. How do we know this? Well, it's because those who have this call in verse 30 are the ones that he justifies. And the ones that he justifies are the ones that he glorifies. Now, does everybody in the world get glorified? Of course, we know that not everyone in this world gets glorified. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There are many people that have been condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They are forever apart from God. So they have not been glorified. They rejected the general call of salvation that they received. But we have here a special call by God to those who he will eventually glorify, who will be in heaven with him someday. And this internal, special, and effectual call is absolutely necessary because no one can respond to God's external call by themselves and on their own. And we know this even from our own experience. How many people do you know have heard the gospel and yet have rejected that call? Countless people have, right? Countless people. Why? What's the difference between someone who has received that call and rejected it and someone who has received that call and accepted it? The difference is this internal call. The working of God in the soil of a person's heart. We know this from Acts chapter 28. There in the city of Rome, Paul says this about the Jews, and of course it applies to all human beings. In Acts chapter 28, verse 25, he's referring back to what Isaiah the prophet wrote. He says, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross." In other words, it's become hardened and calloused. "And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." What we find in Acts is what Jesus even taught there in the Gospels. This is the problem of every sinner. This is the problem that you had, the problem that I had, the problem that every person has, because when God calls us through the gospel, our eyes are blind, our ears are deaf, our hearts are hard and callous. Ephesians also describes how we are dead in our trespasses and in our sins. We need something more than just this general call for salvation. We need a spiritual call. We need an internal, effectual call by God himself and through his Spirit. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, there was a certain woman named Lydia. Remember her? She was a seller of purple, the Bible describes. She lived in the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. And when she heard Paul speak, this was the external call, the gospel message. The Bible says that the Lord opened her heart, and then she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. You know what was different between Lydia and all of the other people of Thyatira and all of the cities around there? who heard the same message that Paul preached is that God opened her heart. And that's the difference between you and me and others who have heard the call and yet have rejected the call, is that God has opened our hearts. We need this effectual call because the Lord alone is the one who can open your heart, open your eyes, open your ears, and quicken us to hear that call of grace. And then the Lord is the only one who can enable us to respond through faith and repentance to His Word and to the Gospel. That is the internal call of God. And in order for a person, any person, to know the hope of this calling, they need to experience both of those callings, the external call and the internal call. You need to have them both. And that is one of the reasons why when you propagate the external call of God, when you tell people about Jesus, what do? You pray for the internal call of God to work in a person's heart. One of the things that we have on our prayer list are a list of people that need the Lord. And what are we praying God to do? We're praying for God to open their eyes and open their ears and open their heart and change them and save them. What we're praying for is that when the external call, the gospel call goes out, that God will do that inner call in their hearts so that they will respond by faith. So we need to keep praying for the Lord to open hearts and eyes and ears and call them out of darkness into His marvelous light, even as He has done you. Because that is what the calling of God is all about. It's both an external call and an internal call. And to be saved, to be truly saved, you need to experience both. But then once you are saved, what is this internal calling like? What is this calling like? With that question, we have God's internal call in view. What is His special call like for those who are saved? So if you have responded to the general call of God to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. And God has worked that internal call in your heart. So what is this call of God like for you today? Well, there are several descriptions in the New Testament that we're going to look at here with the rest of our time. The first description is that it is a holy calling. A holy calling. We're going to look at each one of these passages. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'd like to look at verses 8 and 9. This internal, special call of God is a holy calling for you and for me. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us," with what? With an holy calling. An holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So if you've received Jesus as your Savior, the calling that God has given you is a holy calling. He has called you by His holiness, and He has called you unto His holiness. You see, before this special call, we wanted nothing to do with His holiness. Nothing. But now, His holiness is our greatest delight and His greatest desire. Remember the song that we sang earlier? Oh, I want to be like Jesus. You never had that desire apart from this call. Even when you heard the gospel for many, many years, you rejected that gospel call and you still wanted nothing to do with His holiness. But now, He calls you with a holy calling. And now you can sing from your heart, oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be holy because He is holy. That's what His calling is like. It's a holy calling. Not only that, it is a high calling. Look over a couple pages to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Again, Paul writes to another church. He says, "Brethren," Philippians 3:13, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of what? For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So what kind of calling has God given us? It's a holy calling. It's a high calling. What does that mean? A high calling simply means it's an upward calling. He is calling us in order to exalt us far above where we are and far above what we deserve. Sometimes we need to remember who we really are apart from Christ. I love what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:26. He kind of puts the Corinthian Christians in their place. He says, "You see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." And don't we see this in our own experience? Even Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And so when you look at the general church and the general construction of the church at large, you see what Paul is saying. There's not many wise men after the flesh. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not wise men or wise women. It's not many wise men after the flesh that are called. It's not many mighty that are called. It's not many noble. Instead, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You know who we really are? You know who you really are apart from God, apart from Christ? You and I are the foolish things of this world. You and I are the weak things of this world. You and I are the base things of this world. You and I are the things that are despised. But you and I are the things that God has chosen. It's a high calling. It's a high calling. God's calling and God's choice are inseparable, and they are all because of His grace and ultimately for His glory. And He gives you a high calling. It's a high calling, a holy calling. What else? If you look over to Hebrews chapter 3, again, a few pages further back, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, we learn that it is a heavenly calling. A heavenly calling. Hebrews 3, 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So again, by God's grace, He calls us with a heavenly calling. What does this mean? Well, He calls from His home in heaven, and He calls you and I to His home in heaven. Again, it's kind of like when your mom called you for supper time. She called you. She called you from home to get you home. And isn't that what God does through this internal call? He calls you from heaven to bring you to heaven. And so when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, His home becomes your home. And it becomes my home. Jesus said in John 14, 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for" who? For you. This calling that God has given you is a heavenly calling. He wants you to be with Him. It's also an honest calling. It's a holy calling, a high calling, a heavenly calling, and an honest calling. Go back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 11, where we were earlier, Romans 11, verse 29, where Paul says that the gifts and the calling of God, again, we're talking about His call, this internal, this special call for those who belong to Him, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Now, what does that word repent often mean? It means to change your mind. It means to change. So what Paul is saying is that this calling of God and the gifts of God are without repentance. They are without change. So by God's grace, when He calls you with this internal special call, it will be effectual in your heart and life. It means simply that He will never take His call back from you. He'll never take it back. Philippians 1:6 tells us that we can be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who are worried about God's call. There are a lot of people in this world that say, "Well, God called me, but He may take that call away from me." And yet this passage says, no, it is an honest calling. When God calls you, He will not take it back. And when did God begin His good work in you? When did God start this work in your life? When did God save you? It was when He called you. When He called you by His grace with His high, holy, heavenly, and honest calling. And it is this special call, by which He makes that external call effective in your heart. And it is unchanging. It is immutable. One writer says that this is a call, God's call, that is not subject to change and that is never withdrawn. If God has called you, guess what? You are His. You belong to Him. And that is what the calling of God is like. Is it any wonder that when Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling? God's calling gives you hope, doesn't it? God's calling gives you hope. Just as I would be filled with great hope when my mom would call me home for supper. Hope for a meal that would be delicious and satisfying. Do you realize that God's call will fill you with more and more hope as you realize and come to know just how amazing God's call is? It's a high call, a heavenly call, a holy call, an honest call. But then even more. Last passage I want you to turn with me is to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Remember, in Ephesians 1, 18, it was described as the hope of His calling. Well, in Ephesians 4, verse 4, we read something a little different. Where again, Paul, writing to the Ephesians church, says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Your calling. So it's not just the hope of His calling, referring to God. Now it can become the hope of your calling. It's a personal calling by the Lord that leads to a personal hope in the Lord. That means that His calling can be a personal call. You can know it. You can know that God has chosen you specifically. You can know that God has called you personally. You can know that God is in the process of changing you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And how can you know this? By the same faith that saves you. The same Christ-focused living faith. The same faith that is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so through faith, the hope of His calling becomes the hope of your calling. And your hope is that one day you will be at home in heaven with God Himself. After He called you, He said, you're going to be home with me someday. And you will enjoy all the bountiful blessings to which He has called you. That is the hope of not just His calling, but the hope of your calling. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I know that as we explore the hope of your calling and the hope of our calling, that Father, it brings us great comfort to know that it is something that you will never revoke. It is something that you will never take back. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us to first of all understand the difference between the general call of God and this special call of God. And know that the general call of God must come along with the special call of God in order for anyone to be saved. This is the experience of all believers. And yet, Father, when we experience those calls, we now understand and now we know the great hope of that calling. It is a holy calling. It's a very high calling. You've called us to give us something that we don't deserve. It's a heavenly calling. You've given us your own home. You've called us to be with you. It's an honest calling. It's a calling that you will never take back. And that's what gives us hope. Hope in your call. Hope in your choice. Hope in what you are doing in our lives, that you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight we will first and foremost know that we have received that call, because we can know the hope of your call. And then, Lord, I pray that we will praise you for that call. Father, we will realize that you have done such a great work to save us. Again, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy that you save us. And it keeps us in our place and shows us the great glory that you have for us. Oh Lord, this point of hope is one of the greatest points of hope that we could ever imagine, in that You chose us. You called us. You are changing us so that someday we can be at home with You. Thank You, Lord, for Your call. Thank You, Lord, for the hope of Your calling. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.